How would you like to build scalable courses? In today's episode, we have Brandon Barber. And with 25 years as master coaches, Brandon and Michelle Barber, husband and wife team, have created hundreds of courses, producing more than $10 million in revenue, led more than 300 in-person events, spoken on hundreds of stages worldwide, and facilitated 150 transformational master classes, and they specialize in transforming leaders, entrepreneurs, visionaries, and organizations through world-class programs. So, Brandon, tell us about what's the blueprint for someone to build scalable courses?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. The blueprint. The blueprint is, listen, I think everybody has a course inside of them. Like if I've heard before, everybody has a book inside of them, right? I think everybody has a course inside of them in some way, shape, or form. And I think what struggles, issues, problems, your genius, what you love, what you're good at, that's like the source, or if you will, or the bedrock of your course. And it could be a combination of all of the above, but to really say, hey, it's something that I'm good at, or something that I love doing, or something that I've really struggled with, and I know it so well. I'm very familiar with it. Like, I'm very familiar with anxiety. So I can build a course on anxiety. Or I'm very familiar with neglect. I could build a course on neglect. Or I'm very familiar with whatever issue, struggle, trauma, problem that we've gone through, or whatever our genius is, or whatever we love doing. Just something that we are good at because we know it well. We know it well. I think our course all lies within us. From there, it's a matter of, okay, once you've got that, then it's building your modules. So it's building a module, and a module is simply an overview, a worksheet, and maybe a video. And that becomes a module. A module is a concept, a content, or of content around that particular thing that you're talking about, and then building it in that sequence. So, hey, I have an overview. I have this beautiful worksheet that I'm going to give you, so you have some things to do, and then maybe I have a video along with it. That's really a course in a nutshell. I mean, building those modules out, building them in order, building them in sequential order so that it fits for people to understand, having some sort of a back end, hey, here's what you can do to create your plan after we're done and finished and working on. I think that's in a sense your course.
Thank you. How does an entrepreneur choose the very first course to create? Considering, let's say, an entrepreneur would know a lot about relationships, overcoming anxiety, becoming a great leader, publishing a book, property, I don't know, different things. How would they choose their very first thing? And would you say that first they would have to get a little bit of clarity of how it would all fit together under one umbrella and then go from there?
Oh my gosh, if I was just starting out building a course, I would think I am super overwhelmed about how I'm going to get all that clarity together and put that together. It's like if somebody came to me and said, "Hey, go write a book." I'm like, oh, "How do I chapter one and like the cover and like it feels overwhelming." So that's one of the things I think that you get help with, or that people can help with, people that are experts in the field like me. I've created over 100 courses. So I would say, let me ask you about 90 minutes worth of questions and draw that out. And then all of a sudden, now I can be a lot clearer about what your course is than even you can. I think a lot of people are stuck in their own jar, right? So I'm stuck in this jar and it's like, here's who I am, but the label's on the outside. So I really can't tell you who I am, but you're on the outside so you can see it. And you're like, hey, you're peanut butter. Or your mayonnaise, stop pretending to be jelly, right? And so I can see it a lot clearer just because I'm on the outside of your jar. So I think maybe getting some support from somebody to help you with that process is certainly the easy way. But building clarity around building a course or finding out what you want to do and what you want to generate, yeah, you can go the hard route for sure. And it's trying to find out what that label is on the outside of your jar, trying to figure out what that is. You can ask yourself some questions. You can ask yourself the questions like, hey, what am I really good at? What would I like people to know? What's an outcome I'd like to give people? What's an identity shift I'd like people to have? So where are they now and where would I like to see them create a shift? Let's say it's around, a better relationship, a better marriage, or just relationship in general. Right now, people are struggling with what? Probably communication. I'm not a great communicator to going to a good communicator. And then, hey, communication is something that I want to make sure I talk about. Plus, I'm really good at that. So let's talk about communication. So helping identify the identity shift, I think, is so, so pertinent to helping you create the content. Now, the other thing is, do you want to profit from your course? Because if you want to profit from your course, then you got to make sure what is you're wanting to offer people out there is, in fact, there's money to be made, right? Because if you make something that, there's not a lot going on in that field or that realm, you're going into a space where I don't know if there's that much money to be made, or you're going into a space that's super crowded and a lot of people aren't making a lot of money in that super crowded space. That's probably not the areas you want to go. So I'm a big believer in modeling, Lily. I think modeling is critical and I think success leaves clues. So we can find out what's working out in the world, see if it's something that's working, and then model that same thing by bringing our own content or our own course to the process.
Thank you. How do you validate whether you have a good idea for a course once you have, let's say, decided out of 50 potential course ideas of, let's say I'm great at gardening, which I'm not, but let's say I am. And then I also know about property and publishing a book and organizing events and becoming a confident speaker and so on. Let's say I've already chosen, okay, my very first course is going to be X. How do I then validate that that course it has a great title that is sellable?
Well, I mean, it's where we're gonna, unfortunately and fortunately, research is gonna be your friend here. So I know how to do the research. Like I've done the research, I've dug into it, I know the places to go. If you don't, this is where it gets to be again, work on your part. But hey, go look at book titles. Like, what are the most amazing book titles that are out there? Not what you think are book titles, but the national bestsellers. What is, if you Googled, hey, relationship training, where does that take you? Does that take you to a place where you see, oh my gosh, there's flooded with all sorts of avenues of places that have that and people are actually making money there. So I think lots of research, we have done that research. We do that for people. So as part of our course that we offer people is we research for them. So we make sure we come up with the right name. We make sure we come up with an authentic title. I think your title wants to be something that's outcome driven. So you can always go to chat and tell chat, hey, create a title for me around this thing. And I want it to be outcome focused. So it's very results focused. But it also results focused, but it's going to attract an action taker. So attracting action takers love to hear results. They love to hear outcomes. They don't want to hear about the process. So if you write a book called Finding Joy in the Journey, you notice that that title's probably not a book. Even though we all need to find joy in the journey, that's not what people want. They're like, get rich quick. And maybe it's not that, but that's an outcome, right? Get rich in 20 days. People are like, well, I can't get rich quick. Well, you don't want to get rich slow. So, yeah, people want outcomes. So your title's got to be outcome focused, but I'm a big believer, again, in modeling. And so it's going to require a little research.
Let's say now you have a great title that you have validated. Give me just one example of how you would validate it. Because you did say, okay, let's do some research. But is there anything you would do? Like, would you post on Facebook or some other channels and and say, I'm thinking of doing this kind of course? Or would you send an email to your list? And who here would be interested? Like, how would you gauge the potential interest?
Well, again, I do it through research. And so I see, okay, this model's out there, it's in the world, and it's this person's got a lot of traction. Like they're selling it, it's gonna work. And you can look at some of the big names in the area and see what they're offering, right? What they're offering is probably what's really hot today. I mean, I would go, I know Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins focuses on three key areas: relationships, health, and wealth. And those are the really the three strong markets, I think, in the marketplace right now, right? Those three areas: health, wealth, relationships. If your model is focused in one of those three areas, you're gonna profit in some way, as long as you come up with good titles and marketing tools, and there's lots of ways to make money in those three markets. Now, let's say you want to do a course on fly fishing. That doesn't really fall into one of those three areas, so I don't know of a lot of money that's made in fly fishing, but certainly I would go do the research and find out who's doing courses in fly fishing, who's doing training in fly fishing. And if I go see that, oh my gosh, this person has a lot of followers, they have a lot of people interested, I'm like, that's validation. Now, what you also mentioned is good to do as well, Lily, and that's tapping into your own list and doing what's called an ask campaign. And an ask campaign simply goes out and says, hey, I'm curious, what are all of you struggling with the most in life right now, or in your business, or in your blank? Or is there a hobby you'd really like to tap into? So you almost direct them to the question, or you direct your questions around the particular topic that you want to look at, and have them, they'll tell you. Now, you got to have a list. It can't just be four or five people. We have a list of 50,000 people. So our massive list of people, like I could send that out and really find out, hey, what are people really struggling with in their business today? And how can I bring something to fit that? So I think that's another really powerful way, but you got to have a good size list to work from to just do that. I like to use ask campaigns before I do an event. So before I do a masterclass or challenge, I'll do an ask campaign. I'll say, hey, we're building this thing around this. We want you to come share what's really going on in your life so we can find out that we have this particular event that's going to fit your needs. And then, of course, I take all of the information that I get from them and implement it in this event. But now I have a whole group of people that want to attend my event. Hey, when's your event coming up, by the way? Like, when's this whole thing we're talking about? When does this thing show up? And now I have a big resource of people that have already been talked to about this event, who now I don't have to, market or spam to. I'm like, hey, this event is this time. Come join us. And your input is going to be part of what we're doing here.
Thank you. What's the best way, once you have the title, to find the best possible module titles as well? Is it to do another ask campaign? For example, the top things that you guys are struggling with right now in your business, and then you make those kind of topics the things you'll be talking about in the course.
Are you talking about, so you did you say title or content, Lily? Are you looking at
So
more of the
the titles of them, once you have your the title of your course, then you're gonna need like the skeleton of what you're gonna cover in the course, and then the title for every single one of those things that you're gonna be covering. So I'm wondering, where would you get the information for what you would include there? Is it like your own thing, or would you do another ask campaign to ask your email list or to ask social media? What do you guys struggle related to this particular topic? And you would use that information to create the module titles.
Yeah, I think you want to think about each. So your course as a whole, if you think of your course as a whole, I'm taking people from this to this as a whole. Now, if we broke that down into each module and said, hey, each module, I'm taking somebody from here to here. And in this module, I'm taking them from here to here, here to here. Each of those modules has an identity shift that you're creating, so you get a bigger identity shift. And once you've done that, the title becomes fairly simple because now you're getting them outcome focused. We're taking you from this to this. That can literally be the title, from, survival to, thriving. Like, there's an example. Like, each module has its own identity shift. And then the content is built around that. What do I have to have in my content? So if I back up, you have your course, you have your identity shift. I'm taking them from this place to this place in my entire course. Here's their ultimate outcome, their greatest dream, the ultimate place you want to take them to, the ultimate heaven, if you will. And this is where you're taking them. What has to happen in order for you to get them there? And you go, well, this has to happen, and this has to happen, and this has to happen, and that becomes your content. So then you break each one of those down and go, okay, what if that has to happen? What's the identity shift I'm creating for them there? I'm going to take them from confidence. Let's say you are taking somebody from survival to thriving. You're like, hey, I want to take them from not confident to confident. And then what else needs to happen? They need to make sure that their limiting beliefs, they get rid of their limiting beliefs. So I'm taking you from your limiting beliefs to the truth, right? There's another module that you could say. And you're like, hey, like, yeah, I'm also, in order to take them from thriving, they've got to be resilient. Oh, I'm going to take them from not resilient to resilient. And then your content is literally built from each of those. So if you reverse engineer it, look at the identity shift, get clear about where you're taking them in your entire course and what has to happen in order for them to get the result. Now you start to make up your modules along the way, and each one of those modules has an identity shift.
Thank you. Are you
Yeah.
currently suggesting to use AI in order to simplify the process? And if so, are you using AI to not only structure the course, but also to get it recorded with people's likeness, a video of, let's say, 2 minutes? Or is there another process that you follow to get people to build scalable courses faster?
Well, I would say use AI, but you have to program AI the right way, right? So what I've done, we've created 100 courses. I dumped all of those courses into AI and said, here's all of our courses that we've created with all of our modules. Here's the structure behind all of that. We do every single one of our modules has an identity shift, has created an outcome. Has some sort of an overview. We have a worksheet. We have a video. So what I've done is I've told my AI, given them all of our courses and given them the model to follow, so that when I take somebody's information, let's say, Lily, I talk to you and dig into all of your stuff. Now I can take your stuff and just put it into that AI and say, hey, based on our modules, based on our structure, based on our system, will you create 10 or 15 or 20 modules for Lily? I can do that because I've created that. So if you're just starting and you don't have all those courses and everything built in, you could certainly ask AI, hey, I want to create a course around these things. And this is what I find is absolutely necessary. So here are the key things. Can you help me build out a module or modules around these and a title? For sure. Now, is it going to be the absolute scientifically best system to do that? Probably not. Probably not. Because just because you don't have all of the support system and all of the things that have worked in the past to make that happen. But I think, you can do all the research on your own, but that's a lot of time. That's a lot of effort. AI is definitely a way to speed that up.
Now, tell us about, let's say someone has already created their entire course and all their modules and all their titles, and they've managed to also make all of the titles of the entire skeleton of the book sounds really attractive, and every single one of the titles is outcome based for that particular section. How does someone actually sell it now?
Yeah, well, we found there's three really effective ways to market your course. The first one, which doesn't require, it requires a lot of effort on the front end, but it's building an automated, you could call it a webinar. I don't love calling it a webinar. I feel like that's outdated, but an automated masterclass or challenge. It's basically you're facilitating an event, if you will, that you're going to record and then put out there for the entire world to see. So that's an automated way to create or to sell your course. So you're not having to show up every day for the course. The other way is through masterclasses and challenges, marketing events. So a marketing event can be done in one day, it can be done an hour over 5 days, it can be done. There's lots of different events that you can create, but building an event that will then allow you to make your offer of your course in that event. That's the second way that we found is a really effective way to do it. The third way is to put out some sort of video, some sort of paid ad, and then have either you or have your sales team then just field calls about it. So, hey, I put out this video. Like, here's what we do. Here's our program. Here's everything that it offers. Ba 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 ba. If you want to schedule a call to find out more about it, here's scheduling a call. And you either do those calls or you have others do those calls. So those are the three, what we found the three most effective ways to then sell the program or course that you've now created.
Thank you. Have you tried paid advertisement as well for selling courses?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think if you can tap into paid ads and somebody that's really good at doing it and not, I mean, you can Frankenstein all this stuff on your own, but it's just a lot more challenging and a lot more difficult. So find somebody who does paid advertising, let them help you in that process for sure. Now, we've done paid ads. I can't tell you that we're the most brilliant at them, but we've done them and they work. They work. When you're attentive, you pay a close attention to what's working, what's not working. You can shut things off, you can turn things on, you can add more of certain things that are working. But you have to have, I mean, what we do is we do four or five different videos with different messages and people in different places. And whatever message is selling the most or people are looking at the most, then we do more of those messages and then we usually turn off the rest of the ads. So as long as somebody's watching it and noticing it instead of just like, hey, I'm just going to throw it out there and see what I get. I think that becomes a little bit of a waste of money.
Thank you. So there's a lot of A to B testing. And what would you say is the formula for selling the actual course? What I mean is, do you do like a video sales letter, or do you get people to like opt in and then kind of redirect them to a video sales letter, or is it like another process where that people follow in order to actually buy?
To actually buy the course. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in events. I'm a big believer in what we do is we do master classes and challenges and then sell our course from there. And then we record a 90-minute, I think 90 minutes the sweet spot, a 90-minute master class around that topic. And then we put that out into the world. We automate it. And so people can go in and say, hey, I'd like to be part of your master class or challenge, but the time you're doing it doesn't work for me. So you have this automated one that I can do tomorrow at 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock or the next day at, 3 in the morning. But they have different options along the way for them to go watch that recording, if you will, and feel like it's part of this live event. So I'm a big believer in events to promote, just because it's worked for us, to promote your courses.
Thank you. So you find the 5-day challenges are some of the most effective ways to actually sell courses.
They've been for us. So what I do is I look at a course. A course has when you create a course, then you break it down into three sellable products. You do a do it yourself, you do a do it with you, and you do a done for you. So you literally have three programs within your course. The do it yourself, you obviously want to automate that, right? You don't want to do a big master class and challenge over 5 days and collect everybody and then sell a DIY program to people. You can, but it's like a $700 program and under something there in there. I think that's where your automated course is the best at selling that. The done with you and done for you, that's where you want to do an event or a sales call with these people. So the done with you is usually somewhere in the middle as far as where you price that. And then a done for you is like that's your ultimate high ticket offer. So if people come to us and say, I just want you to create my course for me, I'm like, okay. I get all your information. I dump it in our system. I go, here are your modules. Here are your courses. Now let's record your videos. I give them a script to record their videos. We put it up online for them. So we put it on a platform for them. And now they have everything built on the back end. They have their course and they show up and go, here's my course. Like that's all done for you. Then we go sell it for you by automating it for you. That's all done for you, but that's a premium ticket. So that's a higher ticket offer. Where there's a program that I can offer where I also do it with you. So I teach you how to do all that stuff. That's not quite as high a ticket offer. That's more of a done with you program. So I'm giving you instruction and you go do it. And then the DIY is like, here's my videos. Here's how to do this. Here's the bullet points. Go make it happen. Here's the course. Now you can go do it all by yourself. So three different options. And I think that's when people create their courses. What they ultimately want to do is have three programs within their course, if you will.
Thank you. Tell us about the paid Facebook ads, for example, or other platforms that you use. What's the best way to target the right high-end clients as opposed to finding a lot of people who can't afford that may want or may wish that at some point they will have that particular program you're offering?
Yeah, I mean, this is one way. Like, have a podcast, be a guest on a podcast, find people with lists. I think there are so many people out there with lists that, I mean, you can joint venture with just about anybody these days. So finding a joint venture, finding somebody with a big list, an influencer or something, I think joint ventures are a great path and a great way to go about that. Paid advertising for sure is one way to do it. I'm not the most versed in paid advertising, so I don't have the expertise in that, but I know some people do. So yeah, that's another path. The organic path.
Thank you. I was referring to, for example, for paid advertising, what's the best way to target high-end clients? Is there a way, like an option inside the Facebook or the Google ads that will allow you to only reach high-ticket clients as opposed to people who can't afford your product? Is there anything you have implemented that worked towards attracting that kind of high-caliber market?
I wish I could have, I wish I had the answer for that and I could tell you yes, but I just leave it to the experts. So my marketing team knows that. But I don't have the answer to that. Like I don't know what they do. I don't know their specialty. I like stay in my lane and I let them run in there. So I'm like, this is in your lane, do it. But it's probably a good question I should ask them.
Thank you. For the video sales letter that you use to sell the courses, are there any particular elements on the sales letter that allows you to get the people interested to enough as to opt in, enough as to buy?
The sales letter, the video, the landing page, those things. I think, again, here's what I do. And there's lots of different opinions about this, but I model. So I look at what's working. What's working? Like, who's really doing amazing in this field and in this area? What's working for them? Now, I don't go copy and paste. That's trademarked. Like, that's, you don't want to do that. You want to bring your flavor to it. But I look at it and I go, okay, what's working? What are some of the words that are working for people? What's some of the message that is working for other people? And I use similar messaging. Why would I want to reinvent the wheel? So I want to do that. And I also want to make sure, I mean, this is where an ask campaign could come in as well, to go, hey, like, what are some of the words that people are using? What are they saying? And you could send out a, I know we've done this before. We have an event, and one of the things when you register for that event, there's a question in there like, hey, what are you struggling with the most in your business? Hey, what words do you use to describe this? What keeps you up at night? How do you say that? And so we're able to actually capture some of what people are actually using. So we can say, hey, this isn't just a title that's bringing the outcome, but it's like, this is what people actually say to themselves. So the person that I'm targeting, actually, what do they say? What words do they use? How do they communicate it? So I model, but then if I'm looking for a specific group of people that are in that world, then I find that niche and I ask them, hey, what do you say? How do you communicate? What are the words that you use to describe this? And as soon as you start using those words, people are like, oh my gosh, that's what I say to myself at 3 a.m. That's what I said to myself yesterday. Are you in my head? And it's like, no, I just asked a bunch of people what words they used.
How about the 5 day challenges? Is the structure? Is it like teaching a half an hour to 1 hour every day in a Facebook group? And then the very last day, you just do like a 90-minute presentation where you present the opportunity of them joining your membership site or your program or your course. Is that how it works?
Did you say the 5 day challenge or masterclass?
5 day challenge, yes.
So how we design it, and again, this is how we do it, is day one is make sure we get them to engage in the chat. So you really get people engaged because you want people to stick around. So we get them engaged in the chat. There's a whole choreographed way to go about this each day. We make our offers day four. There's studies that show that day four is really the ideal scenario, but waiting until the very end, it's not the greatest thing. So content each day, day one, day two, day three, all 5 days have content, but day one is really heavy on building your story and getting them engaged with the chat and giving them something to do. And day five, that's where we bring in a panel. So day five is a lot of, hey, we've made you the offer day four, but day five, now we bring a panel of people in to really talk about, this is where we use social proof. How have they used this system? How have they used your program and what's benefited from them? So day five is a lot of the panel and creating a plan. What's your plan next? In fact, I would encourage people as day five, their content is what's called a MAP, your massive action plan. Now that I've given you these 4 days, what are you going to do on this fifth day? What's your plan of action? Where do you get accountability? Where are you going to get the system to help you do this faster? And now you're reinforcing, hey, even more reason why you don't want to go do this all by yourself, why I can help you do it faster. So it's day five is a panel and an emphasis of the plan of action. What are you doing moving forward?
Thank you. What do you do to reduce churn? And I mean, people kind of like leaving early. Let's say that you're on day four and you start doing your sale. What do you make sure to keep people engaged and not leaving before they actually hear the entire presentation?
If people are around day four, they like you and they trust you. I mean, if people show up day four, they like you and trust you, I don't think they're checking out. I don't go overboard and be like, oh, I'm gonna try to sell you. I mean, it's an offer. It's just an invitation to come join me. I don't spend a lot of time, like I don't turn into a different person when I make the offer. I'm the same guy that's with them the first 3.5 or first 4.5 days as I am the last day of or at the end of day four when I make the offer. So I don't make sure I'm not becoming somebody very different, right? I'm very confident about my offer. I have more certainty about my offer than somebody has certainty about their objections. So my certainty about what I'm offering and how much I believe in it is critical. Otherwise, I couldn't deliver it. So I'm the same person day four as I am day one. But think about it. You've delivered all these powerful days of content. They've come in, they've trusted you. They know you. You've brought your vulnerability, your authenticity. You've brought you to the table. I think they're there then like, hey, I'm here. I'm in it with you. And as long as you're real and authentic with your offer, the same way you've been the other 4 days, they're not going anywhere. I mean, we see a churn. We don't see a big churn. We used to see a big churn right around day between day two and day three. They kind of get a taste of day one and day two, and they know whether or not you're their flavor or not. They're in or they're out, right? So you could make a case that you might want to make your offer day two, but I think that's too early. You haven't built enough trust with them. So I'm a big believer day one is really about keeping them engaged. And that's why I'm really big about training people to use the chat. So I'm like, hey, put in the chat this, or say yes in the chat if this. Like, there's a lot of that going on day one. So I get them engaged. So I get them involved.
Thank you. Tell us more about engagement techniques inside the Facebook group that you run to run the 5 day challenges and also the timing. So is it like half an hour each day and then on a fourth day is it 90 minutes and then on the fifth day another 90 minutes or is it 90 minutes every single day?
I do 90 minutes every single day. Sometimes we'll do an hour each day. And then the second hour is if you sign up for VIP. So First hour is, hey, we're all in it together. You get a worksheet, you get all this. But if you stick around for the second hour and you paid a little bit more money, you'll get this VIP experience with me. Or you just give them 90 minutes, or we just do 90 minutes for everybody, and VIP gets recordings and things like that. I would always have a VIP option, because what you'll find is most of the people that end up buying your course are the people that sign up for VIP, right? They're the people that are vested, they're interested, they're willing to spend money. So they're willing to make themselves, they're willing to go to whatever extreme to create, the best situation for that particular topic. But to keep people, again, engaged in the Facebook group, I'm doing everything via Zoom. So I do it via Zoom and then may stream into Facebook, or you can do StreamYard and stream into Facebook. And we've done that. We did that originally, but I mean, small engagement within the Facebook group itself. But each one of our master classes and challenges has a Facebook group. And so what I do is, after each day of the masterclass, I will tell people, go in the Facebook group and do a video on blank. I give them a challenge to do in the Facebook group. So it gets them to go back into, and we talk about this, we say, okay, there's three levels of mastery. There's cognitive mastery, there's things you know. And then there's experiential mastery, that's mastery that you experience, emotional mastery, and then there's physical mastery. That's the stuff you actually do. Everybody wants to get to physical mastery, but in order to get to physical mastery, you got to get from knowing it to experience it. One of the best ways through this challenge to experience it is to do the challenges I give you in the Facebook group and interact there. So that's one of the ways we get people to go in there and engage. And again, the more engagement they do, the more people stick around, the more they stick around and want to hear more from you, the more they're engaged, the more they're like, this is my person. And if you're not their person, then they'll tell you. They won't show up. That's how you'll know you're not their person.
Thank you. Give me an example of a question you might ask them to perform in the group. Like, what kind of video would they need to do in the groups to get them activated and engaged in the group?
It's normally it's just sharing something. So, like, whatever the content is during the day, let's say day one, the content is fear, overcoming fear. I would have them go in the Facebook group and say, hey, tell me a time when you overcame fear and what happened as a result of that. That's a simple example. Or I know in the past we've done the amount of people that people want to impact. How many people do you want to impact, and how much income do you want to make? What's got in your way of doing, of making that happen? Is it blank, blank, or blank? We'll give like three or four options. Go tell us in the Facebook group which of these options has created the biggest problem. Maybe it's indecision, maybe it is fear, maybe it's feeling like you're going to get rejected. We'll give them different options, and then, hey, go tell us which one of these is really getting in your way, and say more about that in there. And they'll go in and go, okay, yeah, I think it's rejection. Rejection's been what's kept me from doing this. I've always been a little concerned about rejection. And then they go on, right? And now you're getting the participation, and people are going, whoa, they're really participating in this. I better go do this as well. So then you have more and people engaged in this. And the more people engaged, the more they learn, but the more you're building trust within that process, so that they actually hear your offer. Not so you manipulate them to get you to buy their offer, but so you get them to go, hey, you're going to hear my offer, because this is going to be, for some people, it's going to be perfect. It's not for everybody, but for some people, it is perfect. I want
Thank
them
you.
to hear that.
What's the best way to choose a title for the challenge? Do you call it a title of the course and then 5-day challenge or 5-day challenge to X, Y, and Z?
I focus on outcomes. So what's the result? And then usually how many days? Unless it's 30 days, then I wouldn't say that. Or if it's 24 days, like, I wouldn't say that. But 5 days, in 5 days, you're gonna get this. In 3 days, you're gonna get this in 1 day. So I do call it 5 day, just to let them know how it's 5 days, not 5 months, not 5 weeks, not 500 hours. 5 days, you're gonna accomplish all these things. Like, it's only gonna be 5 days and I'm gonna get all that? Yes. And then something that's outcome focused. 5 days to, master your money. 5 days to go from surviving to thriving. 5 days to build your resilience toolkit so you can survive anything. 5 days to massive breakthrough in the financial world. 5 days to investing in your own real estate. So whatever that is, it's the time, as long as it's quick, and 5 days or less, and then the outcome that they're going to get from that.
Thank you. Tell us some engagement techniques that you use to get people engaged in the 5 day challenges that you do. Do you get them to say something like, I am powerful, or believe in myself, or say yes, or stuff like that in order to get them engaged to stick around in the group?
Once they're there and getting them engaged in the chat, yeah. I mean, it's as simple as throw your favorite emoji in if you agree with me. Or hey, if this is you, put yes in the chat. Like just literally just tell them what to do. Put yes or no in the chat. I think universal questions are important. So to let people know they're in the right place, asking universal questions, hey, why are they there? Is how many of you want to make a bigger impact in the world today? You guys all want to make a bigger impact. How many of you want to make more money doing it? How many of you don't want to continually have to be tied to your computer and you'd like to create something automated? Like those are all universal questions. Oh, by the way, I have this thing called where you build automated courses. So we can help you do that. So those are universal questions.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you and get more information on your offer.
They can go to BrandonandMichelleBarber.com. Brandon and Michelle Barber. Michelle's my wife. We do this together. She's the heart and the brains behind the mouth. So BrandonandMichelleBarber.com. I think we have three really cool things we give you there. You can get the six key areas to build your own online course. What's absolutely required to build your online course. That's a PDF we give in there. We have an online training through our coaching certification. And then we have what's called our resilience first aid kit. So those are all things you can go pick up on that site absolutely free.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.